Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
Hallelujah. Are you truly living in a new world? Amen. The Bible said worlds without end, doesn't it?
Yes, sir.
A lot of times we say, oh, Brother Rob, I know someday the world's going to come to an end. Well, yours is. But the Bible does again say worlds without end. And, you know, so oftentimes we say, Brother Ed is a small engine repairman and works on lawnmowers and a lot of things of such. And that's a world of its own. You take a guy that works on diesel trucks and mechanics, he probably knows things that he don't know. And this guy knows things. There's two different worlds, even though they're both mechanics. Now, the guy's a tile man, lives in a tile man world. Doctor, they got a world of their own sometimes. Try to talk to them. Amen. You know, I've observed many worlds that I've been involved in my life. And I can remember as a young man, you know, being 16, 17 years old, a bit a little while back. But I remember the mindset I was in. And I couldn't imagine somebody my age being home on a weekend night. I mean, this is like what we look forward to all week, to get out and be a hellion. You know what I'm saying? You know, how could somebody sit? Wasn't long, you know, after that, you know, married and children and different things, and you find yourself at home, you know. But there was a time I just couldn't conceive of that, you know, and now I can't conceive of that. You know, it's a different mind. And a mind creates a world. And one person can be, like say, sit on the same pew, and this guy's world is destroyed. He is totally in a world of distraught and despair. And, you know, the world's over. It's done. There ain't anything. And he's tore up, and another guy's sitting there with the most beautiful peace. Amen. Got a peace that surpasses all understanding and feels so wonderful, so blessed. And they're both sitting on the same bench in two totally different worlds. Amen. And you say, well, you know, I understand, preacher. You know, sometimes the Bible might be talking about this hunk of rock out here, this world, you know, is what we say, and this and that. Well, this hunk of rock, you want to differentiate it too? The Chinese man has a totally different appetite. I watched him eat some stuff. You know, you go to a Chinese restaurant and you eat a standard of Chinese Americanized food. But you go eat some of the stuff them Chinese folks eat, I don't care, you know, how big of a raw fish sushi eater you are. And I don't care, there's some of this stuff going down them dudes' throats that you're going to look at and say, wait a minute here. You know, one of the brethren with me goes, well, Brother Rob, you know, you made me try this stuff, you know, and I did, so you got to try this. It's not easy to take a full octopus with all eight legs on it and stick it in your mouth. I say, well, you're right. I guess I got to try it. And I chewed it and I tried it. You know, God, if I'm going to preach it, I'm going to live it. You know, especially when that little one pops out and grabs a hold of your cheek and don't want to know. That's, you know, that's a, I've never done the live ones, but there are people that do. And, but I don't like something looking back at me in my plate. You know what I mean? And praise the Lord. Y'all love the Lord tonight. Yeah. Praise God. Let's pray over the word and let's see if the Lord will speak to us tonight. I know he will and you know he will. See if I can get out of the way. Amen. Father, we thank you. We praise your holy name, Lord God. We worship you. Father, these are your people, Lord God. You know their needs. Father, you know the needs of the ones that are tuned in and listening. Father, let us say something to encourage and help them. Father, we love your people. Father, we want to help. Ones that are walking in disobedience, we want to teach them obedience to you for their prosperity and for their blessings, for their spiritual health and strength. Father, help us, Lord. Grant us wisdom, revelation, and understanding to direct and to guide and to help. Teach us, Lord, how to love and how to be led by your Spirit. Father, that we won't even pray amiss, Lord God. Help us in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. You can all be seated this evening. You know, when we come up here, I'm not sure, you know, the song he's singing about worlds. You know, we could talk about a Pentecostal world, a Baptist world. Brother Pete called me last night and said that the Methodist Church was in a big meeting, I think he said, over in Oklahoma. And it was to make decisions for all the Methodist Church throughout the world. And the main topic that they were taking before the elders of this work was the doctrine of conclusion with the Sodomite community. And I don't know what took place. I don't know what their final decisions are. But I could just pretty know by watching the mind of it and the things that are taking place already in that church. You know, we don't gamble. We're Christian people. But if I was a gambling man and we want to say, hey, you want to put some money on the things, I'd say, man, my money's on the fact that they're going to pass it. My desire is godly and righteous. I trust that they could find and stay with the Word of God. And there's no impossible way by staying with the Scriptures and the Word of God that they could approve this. Back in the time when they called it the suffering, I think, or not suffering, when the women rights, what they call that, suffrage. And, you know, there was times that women were looking for equality, the rights to vote, and the right to do a lot of things. And there was a time that in our government, our Congress, our legislation and Senate, that they couldn't even imagine a woman in legislation. You know, it's been within the last century that they gained the right to vote. And then there was racial problems in our country. And a man pushing for equality and race, I'm in agreement with that. But they take these kind of things and are applying it over to the Sodomite community. And there was a woman minister pushing for the rights, saying, hey, you know, we at one time weren't allowed, but look, you know, we're anointed and we're powerful and, you know, we're this great and this same thing, using that to bring in perversion. And honestly, this will probably be offensive. I know there's a lot of people that tune in with us, but a woman pastor is a perversion in the spiritual dimension as much as a man being married to another man is a perversion in the natural dimension. Now, I switched two different dimensions there, you know, and you say, well, are you putting them to one as equally as perverted as another one? Well, I will always tell you this, that a spiritual perversion is far more perverted and more serious than a natural perversion. You understand that? A minister that would violate and rob and cheat people is a higher grotesque perversion to me, because it hurts people and causes people to lose their souls than a harlot or a drug addict. A man could be a drug addict and he could be down what you call in the bottom, you know, of skid row, we may say, for expression's sake. And he could be rolling in the puke and drunk and this and that. I got much more respect for that man than a man that'll bring doctrinal error and lie and rob people in the name of the Lord. So I make myself pretty clear. Speaking with my granddaughter, Rebecca, back here, just briefly for a second, just in greeting as we're coming in the door of the church. And she said it would be nice, you know, in part of our conversation, you know, that if there were other ministries that we, you know, more ministries to fellowship with. And Brother Rob, I know you probably have troubles believing this, but I am continually looking for ministers that I could join hand to hand with and fellowship with them. Invite them here to minister to you. Amen. And work with them. And some of the ones I even allow, brother, I'm not in agreement with. You know, and you say, well, two can't walk together. Well, some of the things I'm not in agreement with isn't enough of a violation that would cause me to break fellowship. There's some that I would, and that I would have to, that I would have no choice in. I always say, if you don't mind me just talking with you and visiting with you a little bit this evening, but if I start making little allowances, where's it going to end at? Where's this going to stop at? And I could tell you some things, you know, we look back, you know, we say, well, let's don't remove the old landmarks. Well, what are those landmarks? Well, first, we got to establish them. I told you about a preacher friend, and I'll say this again because it's going to help bring the point I'm wanting to make. Young man, he was probably 25 years younger maybe than I am, maybe 20 years younger. And he was on the internet, boy, and he was pushing a doctrine saying we gotta, you know, stay with the old paths. You know, his old past was going back to his childhood sitting under grandpa. And so he went back in his childhood into the 90s, and he's saying to turn back there. And I was under a preacher in the 90s that was so disappointed with that time set of the 90s of the religious organization called the church in the United States of America. And this man is telling people in our day, hey, let's go back to the 90s, so to speak. That to him was the old past. Are you with me, church? You know, I'm indoctrinated in from a man from the 80s and 90s that's saying, man, the church is a reproach. You know, it's become an apostate church compared. And he's going back. You know, I got a set of drums right here in the church. They would not allow them in the Grand Ole Opry in the 20s. Do you realize that? The percussion instrument in the Country Western Hall of Fame, the Grand Ole Opry, it was in the 20s. My uncle, my great-great uncle, was the first man with Bob Wills and the Texas Playboys, was the first person to bring a percussion instrument into the Grand Ole Opry. See, it's, I guess, in the bloodline of my first birth to defile. But now it's an accepted thing in the church. And you say, well, Brother Rob, if it was wrong, why isn't it wrong now if we're going to stay with the old past? Well, these are some things I'm going to try to make an understanding of. There could be some things. I could tell you that Brother Pike, you know, there was a time they didn't know what a cell phone was. It was a time I didn't. I remember when beepers first came out. Hey, this is pretty cool. You could tell us when to go make a phone call. We had to go find a phone booth. Yeah, and I didn't even have a Superman suit with an S, man. And they had phone booths on every corner of my town just about. Amen. I was Superman going in and coming out, man. Come on, man, I'm telling you. I thought that beeper was a pretty cool little thing. Man, I had one of the early cell phones. Looked like a suitcase. Had one built in the car. You know what my first phone bill was running my business? $1,200 for a month. And it wasn't playing Facebook on there. They didn't know what that was then. They didn't have an internet, I don't think. You know, so yeah, we're talking about changes, and there's changes that we utilize. There was a time preachers weren't preaching staff TV. They didn't have them. When my dad was a kid, it was a great thing to sit around a radio and listen to some of the radio programs. They didn't have TVs. Didn't know what a TV was. He might be old enough, you know, was going to silent movies. I don't know. But there's worlds that are changing and modifying and things, and we find ourselves caught into things of cultures. Sometimes we find ourselves caught into things such as fashion changes. You know, if I'm going to stay with the old past, you know, maybe I got to get me one of them white wool wigs. You know, maybe I should be preaching with a country western bolo on. You know what I'm saying? So there's some understanding and revelations and things. You know, we don't want to stay with an old past so bad that we can't communicate or reach the people of this generation. So do I need to modify my music into some ragged out, twisted music of this day to reach the youth? It isn't working, and it will never work. You know, but then yet at the same time, sometimes we've got to use some wisdom to be able to come to where somebody can understand us. That they could comprehend us, to come down to them. The Bible said that Jesus condescended to men of a less estate. And he had to transform himself down to such a way that he could even communicate with mankind. Amen? Amen. So, well, where are we going with this, Brother Rob, you might say? I might be right with you holding on, seeing where God's going to go with these things. But let's stay with a thought and a topic. And I'm going to say some things here. And hear the end of the matter. If you're tuned in, please don't say, well, man, I'm out of here. Hear the end of the matter sometimes. We talk about old paths. I've got a pastor, if you listen to some of his message through the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, he'd get pretty bold, pretty straightforward. And he said, you know, he'd speak to women. He said, if you're in your pants, he said, you're of your father, the devil. He'd be pretty cut and dry. He would nip it at the bud and leave no room about it. And you say, do you think he believed that? Well, he had an element of grace. He would have never preached it if he didn't believe it. He did believe it, but he had an element of grace for the little ones that didn't know nor understand. And when he would usually talk that bold and that strong, had a woman that was in his presence full of the devil rejecting doctrine and had been indoctrinated and turned away. Well, can you believe with Brother Pike, Brother Rom, that a woman in a pantsuit is going to hell? Is that an automatic thing? He didn't teach it that way, nor do I. And I never will. I don't think that every woman that you meet in town that professes Christianity that's in pants is of the devil. Many of them love the Lord. When I showed up at a place called Little Bethlehem, my wife was in pants. My three daughters were all in pants. And I was probably in a short sleeve shirt. You know, am I of the devil, you might say. Well, I wasn't then, and I'm not now. And I wasn't taught. I didn't have an instructor. I was in search for a pastor to lead me and teach me. Even though I was evangelizing, I was preaching in churches. I was seeing souls saved. I was doing the work of the ministry. I was involved in many aspects of the ministry, doing marriages. I was doing funerals. I was doing many things in the ministry of healths, but I wasn't a pastor. I had pastoral positions, numerous of them offered to me, churches begging me, saying, please. And I said, no, I said, I don't have peace. I said, I'm not there. I was in search still in my heart. Had churches that were offered to me, even with parsonage, said, man, we'll give it to you. We want to sign it over to you. And I said, I can't do that. They said, if you take it, it's on one condition, that you will pastor it and keep it for the Lord. You know, and I couldn't receive it. I said, man, I wouldn't do it. What are you saying, preacher? I had enough sense to know that I was in search and I didn't have the answers for many things. So, as I say, I find myself there. And I've got my wife and my daughters and things that are in pants. And here's a preacher that's got in some of his writings, some of his sermons, you know, if this woman's of the devil. Well, according to Pentecostal doctrine, man, I heard my wife give out tongues in churches. I've seen her speak in tongues, praying in the Holy Ghost. You know, and according to what my understanding when I come to this was a spirit-filled woman. She loved the Lord. She was faithful. She never argued with me. There were so many times she owned homes with land around family established. And I said, the Lord said first to go. She never one time fought me. Well, man, we've got a home here. You know, the kids are in school here. And we don't never one time argued with me, never contested. She said, let's go. When I met Brother Pike, I was in Georgia. She was in California. I called her from somewhere around, I think, Nashville, Tennessee on the way home. I said, what do you think about moving to Georgia? She said, I'll start packing. She didn't know one thing, Brother Jonathan, about the ministry there. She never met one person there. She loved me. She trusted me. And she said, I'll start packing. That was her reply. Amen. After she got there, she wanted to go back home. No. Yeah. And, but she didn't. She stuck it out. It was a big cultural change. Amen. Now, the thing is, I was in search. I tell you, I'm testifying to you that I had many opportunities, but there was something I was searching for. I didn't have the answer. If I had the answers, I wouldn't have been in a search. I would have had the revelation, right? So there was something that wasn't being met, something that wasn't satisfied, a yearning, a drawing, a hunger for some things. And I wasn't getting. I traveled many states. I met many television evangelists. I went to their meetings. I went to traveled hundreds of miles to go to these big meetings. They're supposed to be the cream of the Pentecostal crop. And I left nauseous, disappointed so many times. And I could name some of the men that I went to their meetings in the 80s and different things, but it wasn't working for me. And I left with no peace. There's a point in everything I'm saying here. So, today, Brother Mike or Brother Rob or Brother Jonathan, we go to Walmart, we go to Lowe's, we go to the Home Depot, we go to wherever we go, we're business people, we might be in homes. We won't run into women, brunettes and blondes, right? And purples and pinks and browns and bleaches. And God, I'm colorblind and I'm thankful sometimes because some of them are just slap freaks, okay? You might find one with bald on this side and long hair on that side. You might find one spiked up this way and another one pegged out this way. You got another one with braided in hair. It ain't even hers, and who knows what it's made of. Probably a horse's hind end. I don't know. But whatever it is, it pretty much fits the perspective. Okay? And then you look at them, and they got writing on them. Look like somebody gave a Kato pen or a permanent marker to a four-year-old and said, write on me. And, you know, I saw this little gal at a bank when I was over in Arkansas a few years ago and was in Bentonville. And she looked like a regular businesswoman, like. She did have short hair, a real bobbed off short hair. Because I remember when she turned around and went, I looked at the back of her neck. So her hair was up short enough that you could see her neck. And it looked like somebody wrote a paragraph on there. I have no idea what it said. But, you know, I'm thinking, what inspired this? But let me go on with my point. So I run into them. They got pins and boards and spikes and tongues and eyebrows and eyelashes or eyelids and lips. And God, God don't even want to know where some of them are at. Okay? But they got markings and modifications. And then if we're going to talk about their clothing, you know, I mean, it's like, there's things to expose the ignorance, Brother Mike. I'm sorry to say this. And if you're offended, if you're tuned in, I'm glad you are. And I'm thankful that you're offended if some of this talk is offending you. But if somebody, Brother Andy, goes and spends $80 for a pair of jeans that looks like you gave somebody a razor blade and they razor bladed on it for about 20 minutes and washed it 17 times and got it frayed out and you're going to buy something like that, I don't know how to say it nice, but you're stupid. You know, those were the kind of stuff we would already have done been in the trash. We wouldn't even wear them to work. Okay? So we see them with faded out, ripped up, teared clothing, shirts, clothing that don't fit right, that looks like a reproach. It's never, don't look like it's ever seen an iron board. Some of it don't even look clean. Some of the stuff they buy is automatically made to look dirty. And we see women. We see them in the places that we visit, and we look at these kind of things. Some of their clothing is so provocative. Some of it is so just flat asinine and stupidity, the way it looks. So now we come down to see a woman in a pantsuit, a businesswoman. Got normal colored hair. It's not dyed. It isn't all awful looking. She doesn't have a bunch of makeup on. She ain't painted up like some stinking lizard. She ain't pierced up, poked up, pinned up. Looks like a normal woman. Her nails aren't long, decent looking. They ain't all faked and painted up and brushed. She don't have a bunch of jewelry. A very common, decent looking lady. And after looking at all these other stinking freaks out there, and these women that look like a bunch of freaks, God, I wish I could insult them. They're not mothers. They might be raising children, but they're freaks. Right. And they're raising freaks for children. Well, you're really going to wear it out tonight, ain't you, Brother Rom? But then you look at this other woman and you think, hey, this looks like a decent woman. If we go back in the 80s, she would have been a decent woman. In the 60s, would have been a decent woman. But she just wasn't dressed properly. And these are the kind of things, as I was using for an example, of some family members right here in this church that have an aunt. Beautiful little gal, businesswoman, kind and nice and sweet, level-headed, but she's a lesbian. And these are the kind of things that you say, this is one of the nicest little girls I know. She's an entrepreneur. She's not on welfare. She's not on government aid. She's an entrepreneur making money, making a living. kind and nice, knows how to deal with herself. And I got this Pentecostal friend that's a Pentecostal holiness girl, and she glares at you when you look at her. She looks like she just wants to slap you and beat you up. But this little dyke friend of mine, she's as sweet and nice as could be. Now we're getting in some worlds here and some warfares and some travails, ain't they? Come on now, brethren. I hope you're listening to me. We need to not be a reproach. You know, and sometimes our holiness could come across in such a way that they wouldn't want nothing to do with it. They'd just soon wear slit up clothes. Faded out junk, so to speak. Are you with me, church? So here I am, I'm speaking about things, and I'm not coming against the doctrine. Am I okaying this woman in pantsuit, which would look like a real lady in what we're dealing with in this present day? And she would. It's like, wow, at least she's got some decency, you know? Gosh. Looked like somebody didn't use her for an art board, you know? So, what are we saying? Come on now, let's talk about this a minute. Brother Pike saying that a woman in pants, you know, and he would get strong because when he would get strong like that, but I seen him take women that were dressed inappropriate to our doctrines and esteem them as children of God and love them with his wife with them, take them and walk them around the church and show them the grounds, show them the printing department, the video department, the audio department. Show them the schools and just take them on a full tour of the place and then treat them like a child of God. And you say, well, was he have a double standard? Was he a respecter of person? But then yet another one would come and he wouldn't let him onto the grounds. And tell him, don't even get out of your vehicle on this property. Because they knew and they were saying, I don't care what you believe, preacher. This is what I am. And it don't matter what you believe. In other words, I'm going to defile you and your property. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm the same way. We're talking doctrine now. One might say, what's wrong with pants? What's wrong with a woman in pants, Brother Rob? What's wrong with a woman preacher? Well, so now I go over to and use an example of a woman in perversion in her sexual preferences. According to the Bible, she would be in perversion and an abomination, leaving her own natural affections and turning one towards another. Okay? So, biblically speaking, in a perversion. But I said, you know, she carries herself better than some of the Pentecostals do. But it's still a perversion. She's kind. She's nice. It's still a perversion. Okay? I've used this same statement. I've got a man here that's a doctor, heterosexual man, got him a nice wife. She drives a Porsche and he drives a Mercedes. Got a nice, big, beautiful home. He's got a good living. He's taking good care of himself. Kids are going to school, got some in college. To the criteria of an American man, this is the guy right here. He don't have time for his children. He's down on call. He's at the doctor's office all the time. He's at meetings and out golfing with his other doctors when he does get a free minute. Probably one of the worst fathers you ever met. Being a provider for your children and giving them a home and a roof, some fathers think that's all I owe them. No, you need to be a dad to them. Okay, so we find this man even takes time to go to church with him on Sunday, Mr. Doctor does. But then we got two homosexual men. Oh, Jeb and Jib, whatever. They got time for their children. They adopt a couple little guys and they're out bike riding with them, playing, helping them do their homework. The kids are getting straight A's. And each dad knows exactly what both boys are doing. They know what they're doing. They know where they're at after school. And they could tell you, but that heterosexual doctor couldn't tell you one thing. He don't know about his kids. He leaves it up for the government to raise them or his wife to do something or his babysitters do something because the wife's out in all the social junk. And somebody else raising the kids. But these two men would meet the criteria of being fathers. But you know what, brethren? It's still filthy, wretched perversion. and they're going to impart something in them little boys that'll put them in hell with them. And they'll all be chewing on each other in hell unless those children get delivered from the filth of the perversion that they were raised in. Iniquities. Amen. So I think I'm making a point here. Sometimes we could observe things. Well, what's wrong with this? What makes things wrong and what makes things right? It's the Word of God. Amen. It's the Bible, brethren. And if we're going to stay with the path and stay with the Word, we're going to have Bible for our decisions and what we do. Now, cultures could make changes, and when the cultural changes cause men and women to sin against the Word of God and to be in rebellion to the Word of God, I don't care what the culture's doing. I don't care what the fads are doing. Some of you young people, pay attention, please. This is important for you because you're going to be raising children before long if the Lord tarries, and you're going to be dealing with the things I'm talking about a lot more than some of these others are. Brother Pike wasn't dealing with some of the things that I'm dealing with today. Brother Branham wasn't dealing with them. Billy Sunday wasn't dealing with them. John Wesley, right now, his church called the Methodist Church is making decisions and stuff that would make that man pull a baseball out and bust some heads. And he wouldn't even understand why there would even be a meeting formed about any of these topics. Amen. So we're taking and trying to remove some of the arguments that people have about these kind of things. Are you with me? Well, you know, man, this guy's so kind. I was talking with a man and a brother in this church and his wife, and this, some of this topic come up, and she said, "Brother Rob, man, I work with a homosexual man, and he's one of the nicest guys there. I don't care. You befriend him, and hell, this is my friend, this is my brother. Two can't walk together unless they be in agreement. And you will burn with that queer because you give Godspeed to him." Well, you know, what am I supposed to do, be rude? Well, I didn't say necessarily you got to be rude. You don't have to go to work with a flag on, you know, or a banner saying, you know, "I hate queers." That's not what I'm trying to say here. But you got to have godly convictions. And when you make an allowances and things for these kind of things, you are losing your standards, your stand, you're losing your mouthpiece, and people aren't going to have anything to do with you. I'm going to read some scripture here in just a moment, but I want to say another thing here. Let me read just a little bit, possibly, before I say this. And it's going to look possibly like I'm changing gears a little bit, but I'm really not. We're not done yet. Hang with me just for a moment. Let's go to 1 Timothy, the third chapter, for a moment. I'm going to pick up with what my granddaughter said today. Like, you know, it'd be wonderful if we had other churches, other ministries and things that we could be in fellowship with. Continually looking for those things, you know, and things. Do you think that everybody's got to be just like you and your doctrine for you to fellowship them? Absolutely not. But I'm not going to fellowship with a pastor that put away his wife and got him another one. Amen. I don't care what you say. And I'm not going to fellowship with some things that is a violation to the Word of God. This is a true saying: if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop must be blameless. Well, we lost about 99.7% of the ministry right there. Are you blameless, Brother Ron? I could tell you I'm a virgin without spot, wrinkle, and blemish. How's that? What are you going to say to that? Well, I know you're married and got children. Well, you just swap gears on me. You're going to be real shrewd. No. You know, brethren, there's many ways to look at things. But there are many things in this scriptures here that we're applying to the man, not to the quickening. Listen to me. There's some things because people don't see the quickening, but and they don't see the spirit, but they see the man. And the man must be in order. Amen. Amen? Must be blameless, the husband of one wife. I wish I could take time to get into some of this. Most ministries don't understand the husband of one wife. If a man's married and his wife goes into sexual immorality, a minister now, and his wife fails him, and goes into sexual immorality. Listen to me. And she breaks the covenant from fornication and adultery. That man is no longer married to her. She could be living and have 16 other men and get married to another man, and that man's married to another woman, a virtuous woman. That man has got one wife. Many of the ministries today will say he's got another living wife and he violated, he cannot preach the gospel. And there's some passages of scriptures in Matthew. There's passages of scriptures in Mark. There's passages of scriptures in Corinthians that absolutely teach us the word of God, and that man would be freed from that. But there's many of them. Let me tell you about the doctrine of divorce. It's too loose in the mass majority of the churches. There's too many men that do have two wives, three wives, four wives, five wives, and they want to be partakers of the ministry, and they are, and they're pastoring and doing different things, and I'm not in agreement with that. But at the same breath I'm saying that, I've seen the other side. I could name the denominations and the followings, and they'll take a man that was in prison for murder of the first degree, done 20 years, and he got out. He got born again in prison. And they'll ordain him into the ministry as a minister. Would you do that, Brother Robin? I say, absolutely. If the man got born again, everything previous to that born again is under the blood and done away with. And if I'm going to hold him accountable that he was married to another woman back when he killed somebody and won't put him in the, as a minister, but I'll forgive him for being a murderer or a drunkard, or all these other things, but I can't if he had another wife. He's got two wives now. You see, they don't understand doctrine. That's not the full point that I'm trying to make here, but like I said, if we had time, we could talk about many things because I find people separating and doing many things. The bishop must be blameless husband with one wife, vigilant, sober, good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, nor greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into condemnation of the devil. I mean, moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Now it goes on, likewise, deacons, and some of the same things are mentioned again. But now we're talking about qualifications here. Amen? With some of those things that we just read there, I could expound on so much of this. I had a minister call me today. Wonderful brother, I'm sure. I'm sure he loves the Lord with all of his heart. I don't doubt that one bit. I don't contest that, not one iota. Fine man. We have some common friends even, and different things. He calls and says, brother, I want to come over and fellowship with y'all. You know, when's your church services? This and that. And he's in the state of North Carolina as we speak. Want to come over and fellowship with me. You know, said, I'd like to come over and meet. He didn't ask if he could preach. Now, I'm not going to say that that's what he was doing, but I could tell you 99% of the time when a minister's coming to meet you in a church, he's looking for, and I'm not speaking ugly, they should be. I told you, I'm the guy that's looking to fellowship with me. I'm not looking for a place to preach. I'm looking for other ministries to be involved with, to be envisioned with, to be partakers with them in their labors. Maybe we have something that we can offer to their cause. We've got on board over here with a ministry over here in Hickory area, sending finances and monies and everything, along with Pastor Mike and them in Georgia, sending stuff to Moldova. You've been involved in sending stuff to Romania. We've had thousands and thousands of dollars worth of things we sent into Africa. We was involved in trying to build a church and hundreds and thousands of dollars spent in this little work over the years trying to support ministries around the world, brother. So here's this man. When he calls and said, I'd like to come on. I said, well, praise God, brother. I said, sir, I don't want to offend you. I said, I love you, but I need to say some things before you come. I said, I want you to understand my doctrine and the things that I uphold. It isn't for debate if you agree or not agree. That's not the issue. This is doctrine. I'm not going to move it. And the gentleman says, you know, he wants to come over. And I said, I will not put you behind my sacred desk. He let me know later in the conversation, well, like, he goes, I've never asked to preach anywhere. And he never did. And what I said to him, I said, well, sir, I would feel like a dog to have a man of God come in my church and sit there and me know that he's a minister and not recognize him. The Bible said, give honor to who honor's due. And if a man comes into my church as a minister, I'm going to recognize him for sure, even if I don't call him up to preach. And most likely, I would at least call him up to testify. Amen. To honor him and encourage him in his cause for the gospel. And many times, if I don't know much information, there's times I might even say, hey, I'll give them an opportunity. I had men that I would break fellowship with because of their doctrine that I've allowed to preach in this church. I'm saying I'm loving you and accepting you as a minister. I never said, I know you're in doctrinal error and we will break fellowship. I didn't tell them that. That ain't the way to win a soul or train somebody or teach somebody. I said, hey, I love you. I see a calling in your life. I see an anointing in your life. I see God's using you. And I allow them to preach in my church. Amen. I'm hoping that I've got established enough people or enough order in this house that even if they do bring something that's air, that I could get you back in again. And I said, hey, man, it was a fine message Monday, but let me straighten this out. And how many times y'all seen me do that? Yeah. Numerous times. And how many times have you seen it before they even left the church? That when they come in and sat down, I said, well, I got to straighten this out. And I've done that many times. Sometimes I'll spare them. But this is because I've got this church to the best of my understanding in order, and I try to keep an order. We had a brother I love, dear to me, come over, and it looked like put too much significance on oil and how it come about. I dealt with it right in the presence. I said, man, you know, hey, I don't really care about, you know, the thing is, it's the virtue of God. It's the anointing of the Holy Ghost. This oil is just a point of contact. It's not the hem of the garment, I said, that healed the people. It was that they had to say, if I could just touch that hem. It wasn't the hem. It was the virtue of the Lord, the departed Jesus, that healed that individual. Amen. So we're talking about working with people, loving people. You know, if you go out here looking for people to fellowship or to speak to, and they got to be just like you, good luck. And it ain't going to happen. People in doctrine, you ain't going to find it. It's getting difficult. And you say, well, tell us more, Brother Rob, about this minister. Why wouldn't you land behind the sacred desk? Well, in Amos, it says that two cannot walk together lest they be in agreement. Amen. Before I go any farther, I'll quote something that Brother Pike said for maybe a foundation of thought. But I'm going to Amos. Two can't walk together lest there be agreement. I can go back to Timothy where I was reading about some things, and I got some other places I can go to establish exactly why as we go a little farther. But Brother Pike said that Billy Graham was a Catholic. And the way in a message, some of you may have heard this message, I've heard him directly talk about Brother Billy Graham in my presence and thanks. And I came out of a somewhat of a Pentecostal charismatic church here at the time, you know, and through the 80s and stuff. And I'd been involved in some of the Billy Graham crusade things, went through some of the training as counselor and different things. And here I come to a church and Brother Pike said that Billy Graham is of the devil and said he's Antichrist. Well, right there, we just lost another 99% of America. We lost Pentecostals in that kind of a statement. We lost Baptist, Methodist, Church of God. I don't care. We lost them all. America esteemed him as the pastor of America. That's why they buried him. And you say, well, Brother Pike must have been one tough man. Well, when I heard this statement the first time, I'm kind of like, whoa, you know. And I didn't contest him. I'm the guy that's being indoctrinated and taught and trained, and he's exposing things in my heart and my spirit and my life that wasn't pleasing to God. So why would I contest somebody that is helping me and showing me things that I never seen? and taking blindness and shucks off of my eyes and stoppers out of my ears. Why would I contest this thought? I had confidence in this man, and he was helping me and loved me, and the Lord spoke to me and sent me all the way across. Now, why would I come against this statement? I'm saying everything else has been factual that he said. Why wouldn't this be? A man I was speaking with today, not the man of the ministry, but another man, he said he heard Brother George said that Elvis Presley was in hell and burning in hell, and that he and said these things. He said, it made me so mad, Brother Ron. He said, I raised up and Elvis was the king of rock, and he was. And this man told me that. He said, man, I was so angry with him for months over that statement. Yeah, but nevertheless, if Elvis Presley's in heaven, the whole word of God is violated. The man was a whoremongering, drug addict, drunk. Oh, but when he was a kid, he was in this church. I don't care what he done with the kid. If he was with him, he would have never departed. Amen. You know, he wasn't in good shape. You say, well, you preacher, I don't care what you say about him. He can't put a man in hell. He didn't put the man in hell. The man put himself in hell by being a whoremonger and sexual immorality. By drugs and alcohol and all those things. Well, you don't know. He might have repented at his last minute, and you may be right. But all we could judge him by is everything that we saw. And the Bible says this, if you want to talk about judgment. It said all liars are going to have their part in the lake of fire. And it said the drunkards and the harlots and the whoremongers and all these things, it said they won't have no part in the kingdom. And they won't enter into the kingdom. We got to stay with the word of God, brethren. Okay, this is what we're preaching. We preach the word. So now, we're going to go back over to Brother Billy Graham for a moment. Brother Pike said, the doctrine in Amos says, two can't walk together lest they be in agreement. Brother Pike used that as a foundational doctrine to call Billy Graham a Catholic. Amen? Are you with me, church? And they say, oh no, Brother George, he's Baptist. He said, no, he's Catholic. And he talked about him bowing down, kissing the ring of the Pope, and doing these things that he openly confessed. And he said, that makes him walking with him, and it makes him a Catholic. Now, Brother George would use that doctrine in many times and many places, said, and if you're walking with the homosexuals, then you'll stand judgment with them. And there's other scriptures and other doctrines to confirm these things. There's doctrine in the New Testament that says that if you give Godspeed to these saints, you're going to stand judgment with them for their sin. And there will be people that will stand judgment. I told you there will be people that are considered virgins physically through the examination of a doctor that would be in hell for being a harlot or a whoremonger. That won't make sense to you, but in the spiritual realm, you would understand that. Jesus said, if a man look upon a woman, you got to stay at the word now. If a man look upon a woman in lust, he said he had committed adultery. So is the word of God, yea and amen, true, and every man be a liar. That's what we got to stay with. So now we're going to go on for a minute. So here he says, this man, because of this. We go back to this doctrine that we just read right here in Timothy. This is a true saying, a man should desire the office of a bid, desire good work. Okay. Andy Beach, he's got a good business. Anybody in agreement with me there? And I think if we're going to talk about an honest businessman, I could talk about Andy. I could talk about, I hope, all of you. But I'm standing here as a minister saying this man is a good man and he's got a good work. Is that right? We're not talking about ministry now. We're talking about a man got a good work. And he esteems his business and his work as ministry. That's okay too. And I think he should, and he has that place. But we're just talking natural for a moment. He's a good man. So if one of my neighbors comes over and says, hey, you know somebody that I could trust, man, I'm kind of scared, and I'm kind of paranoid. You know, I'm a single woman, and I'm kind of afraid about who's in my house. Would you know somebody that I could, man, I'll tell you what, that Andy Beach, he's got a good work. He's a good man. He's blameless. I don't know of any reports of him stealing or robbing or violating anybody. Okay, are you with me, church? Okay, but let's talk about a man that's in the same boat, in the same business, with the same trucks and the same cars, the same equipment, with the same skills and the same ability. And you get a report that he violated this household in sexual immorality when the man was at work and left his wife at home to watch after the contractors, and the guy violates her. Maybe got in another report over here in another house, took some of their jewelry. Maybe another report when they came home and he was in their liquor cabinet drinking their booze. Would that be a man with a good report? Would that be a man with a good work? Is that a man with a good name? It's surely not blameless. Okay, are you with me, church? Okay, we're talking natural things now, right? This is a true saying, if a man desire the office of bishop, desire a good work, a bishop must be blameless, husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, not striker, nor greedy, a filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth his own house, having his children subjection and gravity. For a man know not how to rule his own house, how should he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, not being lifted up in pride, falling to condemnation of the devil. Moreover, must have a good report. So the second man that I used, Mr. Dog, that had a business and violated a home, robbed another home, was in the liquor cabinet, does he have a good report? Must have good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach, the snare of the devil. Now, so here's a man that calls me up, and he says, hey, you know, man, I've heard about you, man, and this and that. I want to come by and meet you and come over and just be in meeting with you. Okay, you know, that's great. Come on over, man. Love to have some fellowship with you. But like I said, I know things that if he comes, that I can't put him behind this sacred desk because it would put me in agreement with him in his ministry. Amen? Yeah. And you say, well, what, is he in doctrinal error? Well, maybe not. Is he oneness, two-ness, three-ness? Well, if he, Jesus' name, man. Well, is his wife in pants? I don't think so. I believe he's a holiness brother. Well, what's the problem? He just got done preaching or has been preaching with a man that calls himself a pastor that violated one of his own members in the church and took this man's wife and took her into sexual immorality and adultery and violated a man that loved him and worked with him and labored with him. And this man has been preaching for this man, and this man has never had any reprimand for doing this. And the thing is if two can't walk together, let's say be in agreement. Well, I'm a soul winner, and I'm going to go in these churches because I'm trying to reach the people. That's a dog lie. That is a lie from hell. You go into a dog's church, and you're going to go into a church with a whoremongering dog pastor that violates women and does these kind of things, and you're going to go with your anointing, and you're going to preach the gospel, and you're going to help them people. No, what you're going to do is draw other people into that church to be violated, and their blood is going to be on your head with your evangelism is what it's going to be. And I said, brother, I cannot let you behind my sacred desk because you've been preaching and walking with this man. And it must make you in agreement with him. And I said, furthermore, brethren, if I thought that he had been forgiven. Now listen to me close here. Let's say that I believe, Brother John, that this man had really found repentance and sorrow with God. And he really fell on his face before God and really truly repented and was really restored back into the ministry. Would I at that point let that man? Absolutely not. And you say, why, Brother Rob? The Bible says, if eating meat offends my brother, for me not to eat it. Is that correct? Now, I eat meat. Most of you aren't offended with eating meat because you eat it with me. As my granddaughter Kendall would say, you're carnivores. Amen. And, is that how you say it, Kendall? But I can abstain from meat, brother. If it's going to be offensive to you, man, hey, I eat a good old salad, bean burrito or something, man, I'll be satisfied. I had some of them falafels, and they's falafel, all right. No, but the first one or two ain't bad. But you know, they ain't got no meat in them. I thought that thing was a meatball when I first ate the first one. I thought, what kind of meat this is? Ain't no meat in it. It's a chickpea or something. I don't know what that kind of bird is. But there's a vegetarian thing, and it was actually pretty good. But now listen to me. I'm making a point here, brother. is at that point, if I thought that a man could be reconciled, and I get into some doctrine here and show you the complications with reconciling a man for violating this office. I think a bishop is a good work, and it's a good thing to desire, and it's something that you violate, you could be removed and never restored to. You could be restored to Christianity. You could be restored in salvation and reconciled. But put back in the office, you could have reproached it in such a way that you could never be put back in that place. It's a holy office. Now, they used to think that way about presidents, brethren, in this land. They would remove a man. Now, some of our parties pick and choose. Like, well, this guy smoked pot in college. Let's get him out of here. But I didn't inhale. This one, it's okay. It's cool to inhale. You know, it just depends on what side of the fence you're on. We're with a bunch of liberal, reprobate devils. Amen. Do you hear that? Praise God. Amen. Amen. And I got the millstone. I know how to swim with them. Praise Amen. God. Amen. Because I'm a son of God, man. I got all power. Amen. Man, put two millstones. I'll swim with them. I'm not commanded not to offend a reprobate dog devil, brother. But I don't want to offend a little child of God. Amen. And I ain't said anything that would offend a child of God because they have the word in their heart and the word will set them free. Amen. A gentleman, I believe that they could be reconciled. If I believe they could be reconciled, but the doctrine and the people that I'm with and around because of doctrine says absolutely not. They have violated this office. They cannot be restored back to this office. And this is the people that I walk with, and it is offensive to them. For me to restore one back into the office of a bishop or into the ministry, then I'm in error and I'm in wrong. Are you with me, church? So I told him, I said, on the grounds of this, I'm not even going to debate this thing of these reasons and why, but I went into much explanation for a long period of time. I even went to this kind of an explanation. Listen, church. I said, I've got a brother that's a Hell's Angel. Okay, in the standards of possibly looking and analyzing, day in the time that I came from, when the Hell's Angels came and they had a big party place called Bass Lake in Central California. And it was up in the foothills of the Sierra Nevada mountains. And it was right basically due east of a place called Chachilla or east of Madera. It was a little place. And every single year for many, many years, the Hell's Angel had an annual event there. The sheriff's department called in sheriffs from other counties. Some of the little towns and some of the places closed down around there because they didn't want to offer services and things to them. And it was one big party. Drinking, drunken, whoremongin' big party. This is what they were numbered as back in the 70s, 60s, and 70s. Now my brother's a president of one of them. One of the largest Hell's Angel chapters in the country. Okay, in the world. And I told him, I said, let me tell you something, sir. And I'm speaking about one of his friends that's a pastor. I said, my brother's a Hell's Angel. This could sound like a pretty big insult. But I said, they had more loyalty than what you're finding out of this man calling himself a pastor. And two whoremongin' dog Hell's Angels, they might go out carousing around and be some of the biggest filthy, whoremongin', perverted, adulterous devils that ever seen. But they got a loyalty because they call themselves brethren. And they're in the same thing that they would not even consider. And they would probably kill a man, brother, for messing with another man's wife. But we in Christianity, what do we do? Come on now, brethren. No, I'm not condoning Ellen, but I'm saying there's an honor there. Don't you think that you being a son of God, a minister, or even consider yourself a Christian? I mean, surely you wouldn't want to violate nobody's marriage, okay? And surely not your own. The minister I'm speaking about had a beautiful little wife and numerous children. I don't know how many children, but numerous children, brother. And he's going to go off and violate another married man's wife and mark her? Come on now. So now I'm a preacher and this guy continues on and I'm going to go preach for him? What does that make me? Now let's think about this for a moment. I'm thinking like, if somebody violates my family, listen, church, if somebody violates my family, speaking naturally, I'm going to use this for an example. If Brother Mike over here knows that Brother Rob got his Cadillac stole from him, okay? And he knows, has an idea what it's worth. And some guy comes along a week later and says, hey, man, I got a Cadillac for sale, man. I'm going to give you a real deal on this thing. And he gets it for 10 cents on the dollar. You know, and he's going to come over to my house and show me my car. You know, hey, look at this, man. I got me a deal, preacher. And I'm thinking, I'm going to show you a deal. And I'm going to have to go buy me a new shoe afterwards. Hey, man, I think I made my point, didn't I? But wouldn't that be a violation to me to sit there and talk about gains that you made because of my loss? So, you know, we're in another realm altogether there for a minute. But if somebody violates my friend, they violate me. The Bible said if a brother walks disorderly, break fellowship with him. Would you think for a moment that a preacher that busts up a home has walking disorderly to the word of God? So would that give me the Bible to break fellowship with him? Do I need to justify myself when I read these things in the scriptures of what a man does to lower himself to bring in these kind of things? So what would I say to my friend? And even if I, this is still my doctrine, if I don't know the people involved, I don't know the home, I don't know the woman, I don't know the man, but I know it's been vindicated through a godly, honest report that this man violated such thing, that's fine with me. We got to be careful of reports we hear. Because there's people that lie against truth. They called Jesus, you know, Beelzebub, you know, they called him a lot of things. And there was no truth to it. So we got to be careful on reports. But the reports I'm going on have been vindicated to me by the ones that were offended. Being in my home making confessions. Okay? And looking for help and strength and reconciliation. Amen? I've had more than one woman in my house that had been in sexual immorality with their pastors. Okay? More than one. Amen? So, here I am, as the conversation goes, as we're talking about my granddaughter, says, you know, it would be nice if we... Now, here's a minister that's come along, traveling in many states. We could join fellowship with him, Brother Lambert. You know, and we could, you know, work with him and maybe open up some opportunity for some of the ministers in this church. Maybe give us an opportunity, a helping hand. I'm sure they got many righteous and virtuous things really, truly going on. And you're going to let this one violation, brother, stop you because of a man preaching for another man that has violated a home? Sure, that's absolutely what I'm going to do. And you say, well, I don't know, maybe you're just too rigid. I preached a series of messages back a few months back, or years, I don't know, but it's called Qualifying the Qualified, Justifying the Just, Sanctifying the Sanctified, you know, perfecting the perfect. And these were things that was coming out in some of this kind of teaching and doctrine. And I made a statement for bringing an example. So Brother Lambert and his family said, hey, Brother Rob, could you fly me over to Florida? Man, I got a meeting over there and this and that. And I say, yeah, no problem. They get in an airplane with me. I fly them over there. Okay? And they say, man, Brother Rob's a good pilot. Man, he got us there. Man, beautiful landing, this and that. Man, it's a nice flight over. No complicational problem. Which, as I say, a guy that isn't a pilot, I might have had him in restricted airspace and, you know, been going through, you know, military operation areas and been in a lot of trouble, you know. But let's change up this a little bit. I got a professional pilot with me that's trained to know when a man's on the right course, at the right altitude, knows all of the FARs or the Federal Aviation Regulations, and he knows all the things, and he rides with me. He said, this guy is absolutely one of the most proficient men I've ever rode in an airplane with. The guy is an excellent pilot. But there's a doctor down here in town that don't even know how to fly. But But he wouldn't give me my medical certificate. He said, I got a bad heart. He just disqualified me. It doesn't matter, Brother John, how good of a job I could fly. And I could maybe outfly that airplane better than anybody you know, maybe. But I'm still disqualified because there was a standard set in a federal aviation regulation that if your blood pressure was a certain way, or if your heart had these kind of problems, or if you had your head cut on, it's an automatic removal for 1 year. When they cut and go into your head, you're automatically losing your pilot certificate for 1 year. And then you got to pass rigid tests to be able to have it restored. But that's called a disqualification. So a man comes and says, but man, look at this guy. He could preach like a ball of fire, man. There's people being drawn by the Holy Ghost. People are getting saved, and you say that he needs to be removed? Absolutely. Because there's something that set a standard, brother, that we can't remove and we got to stay with. Amen? It doesn't matter. When an ATP or airline transport pilot turns 60 years old, Brother Mike, if I was flying for United, I would be retired right now. I would have to be because of my age. I still feel pretty good. My father was a man in disagreement with that. He said, I think 60's too young. He said, man, that's when they really start getting good. Yeah, man, praise God, Dad, you're in good doctrine there. You know, but it doesn't matter what Dad thinks or I think. It is a regulation, a requirement that they got to retire. So I don't care how good he is. You know that man that landed the airplane in the water? He's probably retired by now. I don't know that. I don't know how old he was when he done that. He might have been 59. And he might be retired right now. I think his name was Solly. But, you know, that's, I'm talking about, there's criteria that we can't move and bend. We're talking about not removing the past. Amen. There's some landmarks that we can't remove here. We might see changes. We might see women so degrading themselves in their appearances and their modifications and their hairstyles and their dress and their whatever they do that makes one that would have been disqualified from being partakers of your doctrine on your platform in the 70s, it should still be the same today. Brethren, if we start making alterations and changes for these things. Now, some of you may be in disagreement with some of the things I'm bringing forth here tonight. But when we start making allowances and adjustments and compromises, where's it going to stop at, Brother John? Where's it going to stop at? You know, when you've got boundaries for your children and you keep expanding them, they will expand as a child get older. I do understand that. Some things do alter. You know, you might give your 15-year-old Shirley a lot farther fence line to go off in than you would your 3-year-old. I do understand these things through time of people with understandings. Sometimes people analyze me. Sometimes they get in their little fellowships, they get in their discussions, they get on their jobs, they say, well, I'm not really in agreement with this. I'm not agreeing with Brother George on this, or I'm not agreeing with Brother Rob on this. I don't agree with this, I don't agree with that. You need to be careful. Because maybe you don't have enough understanding to know what you're not in agreement with. And maybe you should be of that wise man and hear the end of the matter. Now, the thing is, if a man is going to stand judgment, amen, for what another man does by giving Godspeed to it. You know, the Bible said we can't even eat with some of them. You understand that? We can't even sit and eat with some, or we'd be guilty and stand judgment with them. So we better start learning our word and better learning our scriptures. Do you think I delighted in doing what I was doing? As I say what my granddaughter said, you know, it would be nice if, you know, there was some more pastors and ministries and things that we could be involved with, maybe go to some of their camp meetings. You know, I was the guy that lost $7,000 here not long back because, you know, meet a man and I'm listening to him talk and, you know, I crossed over some of these check marks in my spirit, my fault. I wanted to make sure it didn't cost one dime to anybody in this church, and it did not. Amen. But the man was lied. But this was me looking and desiring. But brethren, you know what? I'm still looking. And I'm going to be very now even more cautious. Amen. I'm looking for brethren. I'm looking for men, you know, that I could fellowship. And when men come here to this work, I'm looking to indoctrinate and to teach, and we will fellowship them. Some we fellowship them in part because they haven't really come to understanding. Brother Jonathan has seen me do this not once, not twice, not three times, but numerous times. I've had ministers come in here. We entreat them as ministers. We love them, and we put them out. You say, why would you do that, Brother Rob? Why? Well, I had one here that when he starts pastoring the people in this church and starts giving them another mind, another word, he needs to be out there doing it somewhere else on his own. I'm the pastor of this church. If you're a minister and you talk to somebody about the things of God, man, I'm all for you. Man, encourage one another. Talk about the word. Talk about the word of God and some doctrine and some things. And you got, man, I'll bless you. And I say, that's what you, brethren, need to be doing. You know, brethren, but when you start telling a man he needs to be in the evangelistic field and you want to think that he should be on the road or be out doing this thing, you just crossed the line. Because maybe you don't know what the pastor knows. Just like I said, this man that I wouldn't fellowship or wouldn't allow him in this church, maybe I know things he didn't know. But if he did not know these things, it would be one thing, brother. But when I know for a fact from another fellow brother had taken thorough time to indoctrinate him and tell him and take time as I take time tonight on touching it, on scratching the surface, I could maybe say, huh? And then you choose to go do that? Let me tell you, many ministers are just looking for another place to manifest themselves. Another place, sometimes, I'm sad to say, and I'm not making this, you don't know who I'm talking about anyway, but and I'm not making this allegation towards the man, but many ministers are just looking for another mailbox, a place that they could come by and collect another offering. I could name some that come by here frequent. Like some of you know, that I've been dealing with for many, many years. Some I've been dealing with for 20 years. And they would come by here. We'd work on their equipment and do many things and bless them. And they're, I'm sorry, brethren. I love them. I work with them. They're my elders and different things. But sometimes they're not concerned about this doctrine. They're not interested in it. They're interested in one thing. Another place to receive a love offering. Amen. And you say, why would you allow them? Because I'm always and continually looking to fellowship and trying to help people and love people. I work with people that I'm not in agreement with sometimes, brethren, but I'm looking, by having to work with them and love them, I'm looking for the opportunity to help them. You say, why would this guy be any different? Because somebody has already done what I've done. And they rejected it. And they went on anyway. That puts them in my mind and understanding into a rebellion to doctrine and to the things of God. I'll leave it with them. If that's what they want to do, that's their business. I'm not his pastor. He can go what he's doing, do whatever he's going to do, wherever he's going to do it. I trust he can win a soul. But let me tell you, brethren, if I'm an evangelist and I'm preaching in an area and people know and I bring them into a church with a man that does those kind of things, now, I know I said this a moment ago, I'm going to say it again. And I'm preaching and doing these kind of things or bringing people in and they come in and submit in that work and that man violates them, the blood's on my head. Amen? Because I brought them there. Amen? So I'm careful who I fellowship, who I walk with, and how I do it. I'm cautious. Amen? But guess what? Brother Ralph's still looking. I'm still reaching. Amen. Trying to work with ministries. I've been in fellowship with many. You know that we've supported many all around the world. And I find myself drawing back because of allowances. You know, if you're a pastor and I'm working with you and supporting you and doing things and you're allowing women behind your sacred desk to preach the gospel and ordaining them, we're done. And some of them women that you're working with are better preachers than some of the men I allow to preach. And they got better doctrinal understanding. They're more skilled in the scriptures and the word. Nevertheless, I can fly the airplane, but if the FARs say that my heart ain't good, I got to step down. If it says that I'm too old now, I got to step down. You hear me? Amen. So, you know, the thing is we're going to stay with doctrine. We're going to stay with the word. It's still halfway early. I'm going to close right directly. I'm going to open the altars in just a moment before you stand. Any questions about what I'm speaking about tonight? If you have any thoughts on it or questions, or, you know, a question doesn't mean that you're in disagreement with me. Amen? You know, sometimes, brethren, to keep things in order, keep things proper, isn't an easy task. Because you love people. You don't want to hurt people. You don't want to offend people. You want to reach for people. A lot of times people think that maybe I don't know this or don't know that. You'd be surprised what the preacher knows, but he's still working and receiving people in and loving them and working with them and hoping to see deliverances, repentances, changes in their heart. Brother Pike, when he took me in and received me into his work, brethren, if I went back to the way I was when he met me, I would be disqualified so fast to be a minister or a pastor in one of his works. But I was desired by ministries where I was at. And then when I came to this doctrine, the ministries I was involved with don't want nothing to do with me. You hear that? So I was desired over here before, and now I'm rejected over there? Come on now. What's the deal? And we're all say that we're using the same Bible. I think of a little writing back there. What is the absolute? Oh, the King James Bible. Well, I was using the King James Bible. Trinitarians are using the King James Bible, beating over the head the oneness with the King James Bible. You hear me? The Calvinist is beating the Arminian over the head with the King James Bible, using the same Bible, banging heads with each other. You hear me? The woman pastors are using the King James Bible trying to tell you they're justified to preach the word by torquing it and twisting it to the man preacher with the King James Bible. So what is the absolute? We got to go a little farther than the King James Bible, don't we? You say, well, Jesus is the absolute. Well, the woman preacher is preaching Jesus. The homosexual queer is preaching a doctrine that Jesus was a queer. So is Jesus the absolute? Come on now. Now, you know where I'm going to go with that. But, the Roman Catholic Church is preaching Jesus Christ, burning their little smoke incenses. But they're using, what is your absolute? I like what Brother Chuck said, man. I started tearing so many things down. He said, there's only one absolute, the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ differentiates doctrine, brother, and churches and minds and books and lives, and families, and people. And the mind of Christ will bring this man in that is unclean, unfit, and ungodly. And he's going to bring him in and love him and mold him and start shaping him on the potter's wheel and start trying to get him conformed to the word and conformed to doctrine. Amen? And then he might have to take it off the wheel and reject it. He might have to throw the net out and throw some of them back. But that's all in the mind of Christ. Amen. And one that would appear to be polished and meet the criteria of a bishop. And then you find the mind of Christ putting him out the door saying you are disqualified and you're going out the door. But they met all the criteria and it might have been that bad heart. Amen. Are you with me, church? Amen. All right, let's stand together. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm not going to take time to comment on this, but I was speaking with a gentleman at length today, and if we wanted to start opening up the doctrines of marriage and divorce, man, I tell you, there's like I started out here tonight saying, man, it's some of them are way too loose on it, and some of them are way too rigid on it. But right here in Matthew 5:32 was a scripture that a good fellowship, there wasn't no controversies or disagreements, but it says, but I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced, committeth adultery. I shouldn't. I knew I shouldn't have read this. There's, like, oh, here we go. Sit back down. No, don't do it. But now listen to me. I want you to keep that scripture in mind for just a moment. And there's another one. I think this is it right here. Verse 10 right here. Let me click on this a minute. Yeah, I think this is what it says. And he saith unto them, whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another committeth adultery. Okay, now this is talking to the man, and the other one appeared to be talking to about the woman's violation. This one be talking about the man, but this one says, and he saith unto them, whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another committeth adultery against her. Now we go to the scripture after, and it says, and if a woman shall put away her husband and be married to another, she committeth adultery. You see, and some take and put this thing in a switch around, so to speak, that there's more liberty for the man than there is for the woman in these things. But I'm going to tell you like this. If a woman violates her husband in immorality, they could be reconciled if the man chooses to reconcile her. But she could be put away. And anybody that would marry her would be an adulterer. Even though the man divorced her and freed her and put her away and said, hey, I'm done with you. Okay, by the courts of America, she's a divorced woman, and you say I could marry her. But I'm going to tell you something. You marry her, my friend, that makes you a whore. Okay, an adulterer. Amen? Now, that man could not put her away and reconcile and things, and that woman would be under the covering of this man. Are you with me, church? Now, the same way a man go off into sexual immorality against the woman, he caused, and she put him away. We're just reading this right here again. It says, and if a woman shall put away her husband and be married to another, she committeth adultery. Now, it says, but again, it's for the cause. It's in the other, I've got to go back over to the other scriptures, except for the cause of fornication. Amen. And if a woman shall put away her husband and be married to another, she committeth adultery. And again, we have to go line upon line, precept upon precept. Amen. And it breaks that covenant. Amen. And we have women in our church that have been freed because of this, in the sexual immorality of their husbands. Amen. Even though they tried to restore, they tried to do things biblically to find that the man could bring forth fruit meat for repentance, and they don't, and then they go and put him away or from numerous violations. You know, so there is a freedom. Like I said, I probably should have read that because there's so many scriptures. I've been doing some reading and some things in that, and I come over and I just wanted to read a couple scriptures, but I'm not even sure if those are the ones that I had in my mind and thoughts. But well, let's go on, close the service. I love you and appreciate the time tonight. What was the purpose of tonight's message, Brother Rom? You deal with a minister on the phone. You don't allow him to come over here to this church, and I'm not sure what the purpose of. Brethren, we got to come into one mind and one accord. We don't pierce each other through, nor do we break ranks. I take time to speak about these things. Number one, because we got ministers and people that tune in. I got people that we're dealing with in the prisons that are tuned in. These messages are going out in CDs, and they're going to homes and houses, and we're bringing doctrine to people. But I'm bringing doctrine to you because I'm telling you, when you walk with these people, we break fellowship with you, my brethren, that I love, and I'm trying to work with you and help you. And you go and do these things, then we break fellowship with you. Amen?
Amen.
And I think you know and have seen me do it. Brother Chris Solera, we spent hundreds of dollars to help him, Brother John, in the Philippines. And he went over and ministered in a whoremonger's church, a pastor that broke up homes. I said, brother, if you go over to that man's church and preach, you're going to have your status removed from Christian Temple. Your ordination certificates and papers as this church being your covering will be removed. Guess what I done when he done it? He called me back. He cried, repented, said, "Please, Brother Rob, I want to come back." I said, "Brother, you're welcome to come back, but you will not be on my platform. You're set down." I said, "You will not sing in this church and this and that," because he went over and preached for a whoremongering pastor. He said, "That's pretty stiff, Brother Rob. If the man would have come back and sat down and submitted himself and took the reprimands and bared the cross for his ignorance, he could have been restored. But he chose to go on and not take the reprimand, and he went another way, and I'm done with him. I've never fellowshipped him since then. I've never supported him since then, and never gave Godspeed to anything that he's done. He chose another way. His children got violated sexually because of the man's weakness of looking for a place to manifest himself and a place for financial gain, a place to get an offering. And the man has failed. Amen. So I can go on. I could share story after story. Ministers in Missouri I broke fellowship with. Not one, not two, but numerous because of the very things that we're speaking about tonight. I don't preach a doctrine in here and not do it. Brethren, these are the word of God and convictions. Two cannot walk together lest they be in agreement. Amen. And I'm not giving Godspeed to these saints. And then they act like you're unforgiveness, that you don't have forgiveness. You don't believe God could reconcile. He gave me the spirit of reconciliation, John, because I've got marriages that have been reconciled from these kind of things. That's what the spirit of reconciliation does. But brethren, let me tell you something. It doesn't allow a man to do those kind of things to violate the most holy office and keep on going and keep on violating, brother. It's like Brother George said about Swagger when he fell and he got before the nationwide crying and bawling. He said, "It ain't over with." He said, he cries and bawls and does all this stuff and repents. He said, "It ain't over with." He said, "It's going to be exposed again." And it did. It happened again. Amen. We had a man right here in this church, right there on that spot in these altars, cry and snot and bawl and snot running out his face and crying, speaking in tongues, begging the brethren to forgive him, and goes right back out like a dog to the vomit. Amen. So brethren, you know, your crying and your repentance ain't what repentance is. It might start that way, but we're going to see fruit, Brother John, of lying up and walking right. If the man would have done the things right, that means there would have been reconciliation with a wife and living right and staying off dope and drugs and alcohol and not doing things ungodly and unbiblical. Amen. So don't tell me that because you cry and snot a little bit that's repentance, you need to be restored. You're going to take a cross for your foolishness. Amen. Well, do you believe that this man could be restored that was a pastor, Brother Rom? And he was a pastor and he was preaching the gospel and violated another man's wife. He could be restored back to that sacred office of the bishop? Absolutely not. He could be restored and reconciled to salvation and find repentance and pay a price on this side for his stinking ignorance. But he will be removed from that most holy office to protect that office as something sacred. Will not be restored to that sacred office. Amen?
Amen.
And you say, "Well, I'm not in agreement with that." Well, you want to sit back down and we'll take some time and go in. And I don't care if you're in agreement with that or not, but that's a thus saith the Lord. And it's the way the word of God is. Amen. Because they used to remove presidents in our country for those kind of things and senate and people like that for their sexual immorality. How much more so should a preacher that has violated that office be removed? Amen. Come on, man.
Amen.
That shouldn't even be something questioned if you want to get right down to the matter of it. And this is why the ministry's in the condition. Because the very people that question what I'm saying right now, the people that question it are whoremongering dogs. And that's why there's no respect for the ministry.
Right.
And people don't have no respect for the house of God. Because there's too many preachers that have violated homes and keep on preaching the gospel. Amen. And people don't have no respect for it. So we need to stay with the old paths and keep some standards of godliness and holiness. Let's give the Lord a hand. Amen. Hallelujah. I approve this message.
Amen.
Amen.
And Jesus did too.
I'm turning it over to you now, brother. God bless you. Thank you, brother, and I appreciate the time. Let's sing a song or two, and we'll close the service. Amen. She's still running a little fever, so yeah. Amen. Well, that's not the flu that made her fussy. That's an iniquity. No. Yeah. Well, that kind of takes fasting, so yeah. Amen. Brother Jeff's standing in for his baby. Been this respiratory stuff. Sister Kaylee said she's dealing a little bit with it the last day or so, man. And this thing has been dragging out. I've dealt with the last couple, 3 or 4 days, so a little bit of coughing stuff. Tried to keep on, try to stay at my post of duty, but it's been a hindrance, brethren. Amen. So let's point our hands in this direction towards this brother. And let's pray for all the families right now. Amen. Let's pray for these families that are dealing with this stuff, and just continue calling upon the name of the Lord. Amen. Petitioning the throne of God. Father God, I thank you, Lord, that you hear our prayers, Lord. Father, I thank you, Lord God. And Father, that so many times that these things perplex and come in, causing us complications as your children, and we press over and we go. But Father, as this father stands here pleading, Lord God, for the strength and the health and deliverance of his baby girl, Father, we rebuke this thing in Jesus' name, knowing that this child will come through this, Lord God, knowing that she'll be fine and okay. But Father, we're asking for you to move right now, Lord God, and open up those airways, Lord, and remove this congestion. Break this fever, Lord God, and let this thing be gone and be done with once and for all in the name of my Lord and Savior. And the others in this church, in this work, that are dealing with this same thing, help them, Lord God, to be delivered and let this thing pass, Father. In the wonderful name of my Lord and Savior Jesus, we pray. Amen. You know, brethren, I'm not, when I speak to you tonight like I spoke about dealing with a fellow brother, it breaks my heart, to be honest, because I love people and I want to welcome them to come here and minister. But brother, I can't move myself from this standard and from these things, even though I would love to work with them and do things. But brethren, I don't think that this is complicated doctrine tonight. Did it seem like it? Is it complicated to think that, man, when a man violates the most godly and holy office? Brother, it is a godly thing. It is an honor to be considered, to be one that could be in that. And it's by the mercy and the grace, because honestly, brother, they none of us fit. But I'm telling you what, but we can't take the grace of God to lasciviousness. And we can't just stomp on these things and walk all over them. Amen?
Amen.
So we got to have a standard, man. Right. Even though maybe everyone you know in all the churches may not have that, I'm sorry, but somebody's going to have to hold a standard somewhere. Amen?
Amen?
You know, we go back over to Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, could we find so many? You know, and we kept getting down and down and a smaller number and a small. Brethren, I don't know. I just know what the Bible says. It said it's a little flock and few be that they find it. Brethren, there's a lot of ministers out there who don't want nothing to do with this. They don't want to line up with this. They're not in agreement with it because they're charismatic. Oh, God loves us just the way they are. He don't expect this out of us. Man, praise God. Let's live it up. Let's shout it up a little bit, man. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, brother, they go to church. They run around the church. They dance a little bit. They speak in tongues. Hallelujah. Praise God. We had a good time tonight. Well, brethren, I've been involved in all that, and it doesn't bring fruition and endurance and strength. Pretty soon, running around the church and wearing your tennis shoes to church gets old. Come on now. It gets old after a while. You know, well, you know, I enjoy the dancing and this and that. Well, praise God, dance, man, for us, amen. I might get out there with you, but make sure it's in the Holy Ghost, amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yes, ma'am. Say again. Okay, yes. Amen. Wants to pray for Sister Carrie. Stand in for her, the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, will comfort this family. Amen. With the loss of her grandmother right now. And, you know, and just pray that this time could open up an opportunity for Sister Carrie and also for Brother John and that family. They're looking at eternity right now, or what would appear to be the threshold, they say, to it. You know, with the loss of a grandmother. And it's going to be pulling families together. Sorry to say, but sometimes funerals will bring family together. They ain't seen each other in 20, 30 years. Sometimes 40. I've been around funerals and brings them from all over the country. They can't come together to see them when they're living, but they want to come see them planted. And if sometimes they feel like if they do that, it can remove some of the guilt for my lack of being involved in their life. I told you my brother came to see my mother buried, for he said I could see her dead face in a casket. So there's a lot of different motives to come for people and why they come out to funerals. But let's pray that comfort for John and Carrie and for the entire family. But let's pray for the wisdom of God to be used to a broken, contrite spirit, that God could speak something that could be received, that could alter the course of these people's life and bring salvation. Amen. Most gracious Father, as this my sister stands in proxy for this family, Father, I thank you, Lord God, for a sister. I want to honor her for thinking of this family in this time of loss, time of mourning right now. But Father, we're asking for an impartation of wisdom, Father, in this family that is partakers in this family, that they could take and impart the gifts of God into people, the love of God, the comfort of His Spirit, the comfort of the Holy Ghost into a family that is broken down right now in mourning. Father, we know that the Comforter that you promised and sent, it's here and in us and through us all. But Lord God, we're asking you to let the drawing power of the Holy Ghost, Lord God, draw these people into the kingdom and into salvation. Father, we are agreeing on this right now in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, that souls will be won and added into your kingdom through this event of the time that one has stepped in to all of eternity, Lord God. We pray and ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Thank you, sister. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. I believe Brother Otis tomorrow is going to be going to see your dad, correct? I mean, Brother Kwan. You're going to go see Brother Otis. You're leaving out tomorrow? Tomorrow evening? Okay. And he'll be leaving out tomorrow evening to go see his father. And just keep him in prayer. Amen. His dad getting out of prison tomorrow. Brother Otis has been following somewhat afar off for a few years here with us. And he's going to Denver. He's got a job opportunity, I believe, Monday out in Denver, Colorado. So be in prayer for Brother Otis and be in prayer for Brother Kwan as he travels to Georgia. When are you coming back home? Sunday? Okay. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Be in prayer for my father. He's been pretty busy man the last few days. He flew his airplane to Springfield, Missouri to see his brother. Had good fellowship with his brother John, which has been gone about 20 some years, and his mother's been gone since 1981, and she come to visit him yesterday, Brother John. So maybe he'll be off visiting with some that are in over in the eternity, amen. You know, the thing is, be in prayer for him, amen. Be in prayer for this minister that I never called his name tonight. I'm sure he's a fine brother, but be in prayer, amen, that he could receive some doctrine today and understanding of possibly some people number us as self-righteous, Brother John, preaching these kind of things or thinking that we're better. I don't think I'm better, but we have an office to uphold. Brethren, when you take a job as a police officer, you're representing that whole town. And you need to uphold the laws of that town and the people that appointed you or allowed you in. Amen?
Amen.
So the thing is, I've been called and chosen of the Lord. And I'm going to do everything I can to uphold. I'm sure I've stumbled and fell away from this thing in so many times. But brethren, some of these things that we're talking about tonight, this is a very obvious, open thing that has taken place. And we just can't call this the grace of God and the love of God. Brethren, the bishops and the ministry are accountable. Amen. So we have to uphold the word of God. It don't make us better. It makes us accountable. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. God's good. We love you all and appreciate you. Let's be in prayer about these issues and matters and people involved, people in the prisons, and things that we're dealing with daily. There's men reaching out, doctrines going out, messages going out, words, printed pages going out all the time. Brother Chuck's adding almost daily a message to the Transology archives, and there's people all around that's drawing and listening from these things. Some of them don't like it. Some of the people that sat under it and knew the mess are breaking away from it because they've got a new doctrine now. You know, God's doing a new thing, Brother Mike. Let me tell you something. You better be careful with some of them new things because it ain't new at all. It started over there in a garden called Eden. And there was a new thing going on when that serpent was in a tree. And he's still right in the midst of that garden. Amen. In that tree. Amen. With knowledge of good and evil. Amen. And he'll lead you into something that looks good and tastes good. And it'll bring you knowledge and things and make you as God. Let me tell you, it'll make you as God is. But be careful. Because when it makes you as him without holiness and without love, amen, it'll do the same thing it done to all of mankind. It'll bring you all the way down to being cursed and cast out. Amen. And rejected. And God will repent that he ever made you. Amen. Praise the Lord. We got to bring it into a present day truth and revelation. Hallelujah. God's good, isn't he? Isn't he, brother? Come on. He's very good. Amen. Brother Bo, if you'll come up to dismiss us. Amen. Any other children want to pray for their families? But if you want to come together at the same time, and it's wonderful. Children, we need to give them time to come in. Stand in for daddies or for family members or things of such as little girls. So many times petition the throne of God for her dad. And we pray for her dad. And her dad has violated the church, the brotherhood, and God. Can he find repentance? Sure he can. You know, it don't look like he's looking for it right now. Seems like he's waxing worse and worse as days go by. In violation to the doctrine, to the word, to the scriptures. Well, you think he'll find repentance? This little girl right here keeps praying for her daddy. I believe he can. Amen.
Amen.
God reached down to the uttermost. But sometimes they just gonna, you know, what is it gonna take? How many prison times and sentences will it take? He's claiming innocency. Just read a letter from him. He said that the reason he's incarcerated because of a bunch of lies. He used another terminology, that he's innocent. He ain't innocent, my friends. I promise you, thus saith the Lord, the man is not innocent. You understand that? And we gave him benefit of the doubt, and we didn't believe it then, but we still showed mercy and grace. But when a man, as long as he's lying against the truth, will never find repentance in this world or the world to come.
Amen.
He will burn in eternal damnation. You say, Brother Rob, please be careful. You're in front of his children. His children need to know the consequences for violating the kingdom of God and the word of God. But they need to keep praying. I pray for people that violate the word every day, brother. I pray for heathens. Amen. And we're going to continue to believe with this little girl for her daddy's soul's sake.
Amen.
And I'm sorry if this offends you, but you're going to be in hell with your family because you're always covering the truth and you're always trying to hide it. Sometimes children need to learn at home. The Bible said to raise them up in the way they go, and they need to know why daddy's in prison is because he violated Jesus Christ and the doctrine and this brotherhood and God and humanity. Amen. In perversion. And there's consequences for that. Amen.
Amen.
If you wasn't here to pray for your daddy, you are now, right? You keep on praying. Amen. Brother Rob might sound harsh, little sister, but I love your daddy. But your daddy's ways will put him where he's at. But we keep praying. But daddy's got to make some changes. And you keep praying until you get those reports. Okay? Your mama doesn't like this. Your mother didn't take you away from your daddy. She did not do that. Your mother done everything she did to keep the daddy for you. Your mother's innocent in this. She's not guilty here. Your daddy violated God. He violated the laws of the country that we live in. And he violated you, okay, in such a way by violating what daddies do for their children, okay? But we love him. We're going to pray for him, all right? Father, I thank you, Lord. And I pray that this little sister's mind could be protected, Father. But I pray that the spirit of truth and power of holiness and godliness and righteousness could be imparted in her little heart. That this little girl, when nobody else would seem to care, when others would even condemn him into damnation, that there be something in this, my little sister's heart, that says, Jesus, you could reach all the way down into the deepest mire and the deepest pit of darkness, and that you could redeem and restore and save, Lord God. Father, we ask you, Lord God, as this man looks like he's even got deeper into the depths, Father, knowing that you could turn him away from the reprobate mind, Lord God, and save his soul, Father. Father, whatever the needs be, whatever the beatings would take, whatever the convictions, whatever they are, Father, hear this little girl's prayer, Father. But we find no fault with you, Lord God. If you have a vessel to honor and another to dishonor, Father, we stand with you, we stand with your word, and we say, yea and amen. Let your word be true and every man be a liar. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. God bless you, little sister. God bless you.
Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your words, your anointing, your people, Lord God.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is ChristianTempleOnline.org. Or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina, 27261. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.